Chapter 64. The headquarters for FourBears.com was at 70 State Street, which Jesse knew wasn't all that far from where Sonny lived on River Street Place, over on the other side of the common and the public garden. He hadn't been to Sonny's home since she'd moved there from Fort Point. Maybe after he finished on State Street, he'd swing by. Or maybe he'd wait for her to make the first move. Or maybe he could stop acting like a scared high school kid waiting for the girl he liked to pass him a note. The offices of Four Bears were on the 25th and 26th floors. When he got out of the elevator and looked past the receptionist's desk at all the cubicles behind her, he could have been looking at an insurance company or a tech firm, which he supposed this place really was. Lots of young people tapping away at computer screens, or talking into their mics attached to their earpieces, or both. What he was really looking at, he thought, was the modern world. People younger and more tech-savvy than him, and able to find things out faster and solve problems quicker. Maybe he should walk in there and tap one of them on the shoulder and tell him or her everything Jesse knew and didn't know about Paul Hutton. Maybe they'd figure out what happened to him before somebody made the next coffee run. The receptionist was more age-appropriate for him. Streaked hair cut short, big black-framed glasses. Pretty. Sally Cameron, her placard read. "May I help you?" she said. He identified himself, showed her his badge, said that he was here investigating the murder of a Four Bears client. "Oh, my," she said. "I'm not even sure who you should be talking to about that." Jesse smiled. "Might as well start the charm offensive." "I'm sure you'll make the right decision," he said. She stood and said, "Excuse me for just one moment." She walked into the large, sunny area where the cubicles were, toward actual offices Jesse could see in the back. She came back about 5 minutes later with a tall, red-headed woman in a short summer dress, long hair, long legs. She reminded Jesse of Rita Fiore, lawyer friend, once with benefits. "Gwen Hadley," she said, smiled. "Vice president in charge of something or other." She put out her hand. Jesse took it. "Should I call you chief?" she said. "Not unless you want me to arrest you in front of Miss Cameron." She laughed. "Follow me," she said. She led him down to a corner office with a spectacular eastern view that stretched all the way to the waterfront. "Does the president have a better view than this?" Jesse said. "He does," she said. "Higher, too." No wedding ring, Jesse noticed. Telling himself he was the chief and trained to be a visual person. She motioned him into a chair to the right of her door. She sat down on the small sofa next to it and crossed her legs. "Sonny," Jesse thought. "Sally told me about the murder," Gwen Hadley said. "Maybe you can explain how I can help you." Jesse told her about Paul Hutton, him being orphaned, about his last job, about him getting sober, about him showing up in paradise not long after the charge from Four Bears appeared on his credit card. "Why do you suppose he took the test now?" she said. "No idea." "But it doesn't really matter, does it?" she said. "It matters to me," he said. "I believe that if I can find out if there was a match, it might help me find out who killed him." She sighed. "That doesn't sound good," he said. "I'd love to help you out, Jesse," she said, smiled at him again. "But I'm afraid I can't." "Can't or won't?" "If our customers don't trust our confidentiality policies," she said, "then before long we won't have any customers. Because they're on their way to Ancestry, or 23andMe, or somebody else who will honor their confidentiality policies." Jesse smiled now. "All due respect," he said. "That never sounds good," she said. "Bullshit," Jesse said. "Excuse me?" "Bullshit. We don't happen to think our privacy policies are." "Maybe for people who are still alive," Jesse said. There's a place on the form for people to be contacted in the event of the customer's death, she said. Almost always a family member. But you just told me he had no family. You could check, Jesse said. But if there's no contact listed, she said, then we're back to where we started. If one person's information isn't safe, no one's is. Dead or alive, I'm afraid. Here's how I'd like this to go, Jesse said. I'd like you to talk to whomever you need to talk to, all the way to the 26th floor if necessary. I'd like you to go into Paul Hutton's records and see if there's a contact. And if there's not, you do the right thing and turn over his information to me, so I can get some justice for him. If not, I am going to call Wayne Cosgrove at the Globe and tell him Paul Hutton's sad story and how Four Bears isn't interested in justice for him, because they think the letter of the law is more important than the spirit of the law. She sighed again. Well then, she said. He waited. I may have underestimated you, Jesse Stone. You're not the first, he said. Pretty sure you won't be the last. She stared at him with green eyes. They seemed to work for her the way just about everything else did. I'm not promising anything, she said. If we didn't have protocols in place, I'd be doing a deep dive into the system right now. I believe you. I want to help, she said. I really do. I believe that too. She got up, walked over to her desk, came back with her phone. Can you give me your number? She said. He did. She read it back to make sure she had it right. This may take some time, she said, and some arm twisting. My money's on you, Jesse said. She stood. So did he. She shook his hand again and said she'd be in touch. Probably his imagination that she held on a beat longer this time. Maybe more. Sonny, he said as he withdrew his hand from hers. Excuse me? Nothing, Jesse said. He was the one carrying the gun and badge, after all. No reason for her to know that he needed a safe word, too.